Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm super excited to be here with you, and thank you, dear listener, for being here with me today. I am chatting to you today about habit forming and how to form habits and how to stop going around in circles if you feel like you're going around in circles now. This is one of the topics that I feel most passionate about, and it is something that I am constantly working on myself. Like for me at the moment, I'm constantly striving at the moment to create a better life for myself. And I was just thinking about this over the weekend and chatting to Joe, my husband, about it over the weekend and about all the things that we do that are in autopilot mode, or all the things that we do because we're being marketed to, all the things that we do because we're being told to do. And I'm having a real issue with my phone recently. And it all came to a head at the weekend. I was chatting to Joe. We were having a cup of tea in the back garden, and I just started crying randomly about my phone use, and I got really upset about it. I was like, just went on this kind of rant. I was like, I hate my phone. I don't know what to do. I feel like it's me and my phone living my life. Like it's me and my phone. Like, it's me and my phone in the bathroom. It's me and my phone when I wake up in the morning. And even with the rules, like I have this rule where I don't look at my phone for the first hour when I wake up in the morning. Even that is bothering me now. It's like, oh my God, I'm living my life based on my phone rules. And it's beginning to really, really bother me. Like no phones just before bed, no phones when you wake up first thing. So it's like you and your life and these rules around your phone. And it's really bothering me. A little bit like before when I stopped drinking alcohol. And alcohol was really beginning to bother me before I stopped drinking it. The same thing is happening now with me and my phone. I can't bear it anymore. I actually can't bear the thoughts of looking back and realizing my life was dictated by the phone. And there's two things I'm talking about here. I'm talking about actually going on my phone, and then I'm talking about actively having rules to not go on my phone. Like the rules are bugging me just as much as going on the phone. I started to get really upset about this over the weekend, and I made a decision. I've bought a flip phone that I'm going to now start using. So I have my phone with all my apps and Facebook and Instagram and all the banking apps and social media apps that I need. And the idea for me is that I'm going to keep my phone in work, and then I'm going to have a flip phone for when I'm not in work. And Joe was saying to me, you know, why don't you just turn mobile data off on your phone? But again, and I might try that, I don't want to be spending my whole day thinking of me turning on my mobile data. I want to be free of my phone. I want to experience life again, what it was like free of my phone out in the day-to-day world. And now, obviously, with my work and stuff, I'll be on social media, but this will be in work. So it's not as absolutely huge, as huge a thing as like just going social media completely free. It is more about being free outside of work. So I want to share a book with you that had a massive, profound effect on me many years ago, and I'm rereading it again, and I want to share with you the main points in it today if you're struggling to form healthy habits. And it's called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. And it's one of the most amazing books I've read. I've really gone back into reading personal development books with a vengeance recently. I went through a phase for a long time of reading personal development books, but then I kind of stopped because I got really busy and I couldn't figure out a good time to read these books. And I was kind of trying to read them before bed, and then I realized that was making me really switch on and stressed out. So I went back to reading fiction books. So I suppose I went through this big fiction book enjoyment reading time. But recently I made a commitment to myself to get up a little bit earlier in the morning and do a bit of a morning routine. And part of that morning routine is to read for 20 minutes of a book that helps me develop in areas that I want to develop. And I must say that one little habit has been absolutely transformative. It's really helping me study and learn things that I want to without putting the pressures on during the day of, you know, the time coming out of my work time or trying to do it when the kids are around or before I go to bed. And I must say it's absolutely terrific, and I highly recommend it if you want to learn from books but you're really busy in work and you can't seem to find the time. Just doing it first thing in the morning is really, really great. And that's one of the reasons why I went and revisited this Slight Edge book by Jeff Olson. And I want to share with you these tips from his book because they really help with showing you how simple habit forming can be if you choose to keep it really simple. And the main concept of his book is that to be successful in what you want to be successful in, you only really need to have a slight edge. And that he talks about there being two paths. There's the success path and the failure path. And these are two different trajectories that people follow based on their daily habits and their actions. And the failure line, the failure path, represents the path of least resistance or the consequences of negative habits and behaviors. And he goes on to say that it's characterized by small, seemingly insignificant actions or decisions that, when repeated consistently over time, lead to negative outcomes or stagnation. For example, procrastination, poor time management, unhealthy life choices, or negative thought patterns can contribute to moving along the failure line. The success line, on the other hand, represents the path of growth, improvement, and achievement. It's built on the foundation of positive habits, consistent effort, and a growth mindset. Small positive actions taken consistently over time propel people along the success line, leading to personal and professional fulfillment, accomplishment, and progress towards their goals. Examples of actions that contribute to moving along the success line include goal setting, continuous learning, maintaining a positive attitude, practicing gratitude, and taking responsibility for one's choices and actions. And he goes on, in The Slight Edge, Jeff Olson emphasizes the importance of recognizing the cumulative impact of small daily actions and the choice individuals have to either move towards success or drift towards failure based on their habits and behaviors. By understanding and intentionally aligning with the success line through positive daily choices, individuals can create a path to lasting success and fulfillment in various areas of their life. The same activities that take us from failure to survival would also take us from survival to success if we would just keep doing them. So I want to go back to that for a second. So his whole book speaks about how these simple daily habits keep us on the success path. And every day not doing those simple daily habits brings us down to the failure path. And he does this really cool graph where the success path and the failure path are two straight lines. And they stay beside each other, or the success line is above the failure line, and they stay parallel to each other for a really long time. And then over a long period of time, the success path goes up towards the sky and the failure path goes down towards the ground. However, this is over a long period of time. For a while, for the first bit of time, the success path and the failure path are just running parallel alongside each other. And what this means is that we aren't rewarded for a long time for the small daily consistent habits that we're taking to bring us towards success. However, success will eventually come. Equally, the negative habits and the unhealthy behaviors that we do on a daily basis, or the things that we skip or decide to press snooze on, we don't really see the impact of those small little daily decisions for a long time until all of a sudden, bang, the failure line goes right down. And I find this really, really fascinating and just so exciting. And the reason I find it so exciting is because it's so simple. And he talks about you being able to jump on the success path at any time. And this is what I think is really cool, because me, for a long time, and so many women that I've met in my journey of helping women over 40 get fit and break free from unhealthy habits, is that so many people think, and myself included, I used to think this, is that it takes you a long time to kind of be healthy, to get results. and that many people are focused on the results part of the actions that they're taking. Whereas this book talks about you being able to jump on that success path anytime you start taking those small daily actions towards success. So for example, all weekend you might have eaten really crap food and missed your workouts or not done any movement. And it's Monday and you're thinking, oh my God, here I am back at square one. It's going to take me weeks to get healthy. Whereas his whole theory is that it doesn't take weeks. All you have to do now is walk to the sink and drink a glass of water or put your trainers on and go for a walk. And you are instantly on that success line, that there's no waiting around for it. And I think that's really, really interesting. And I think it's really, really motivating. And his whole idea in the book as well is that this whole idea of success and failure. And I want you to think back to a time when you were really healthy, or I'll give you an example of when I was kind of stuck in my weight gain, weight loss loop. I used to think that losing weight was really, really difficult. However, when I look back on all of the times that I had an event coming up, I noticed that I was really easily able to lose weight. Like, for example, my wedding. I got into great shape for my wedding and I was really, really healthy and I felt like healthy on the day. I didn't really have a great time, but that's for another episode. And my two sisters' wedding as well. Like, I remember my older sister's wedding, I felt like I was really unhealthy before she got married. And in the sense that, like, I hadn't really gotten into exercise at that point, and I was like drinking too much and I was overweight, but I got into really great shape for her wedding. And the same for my younger sister's wedding. It was just after Emily was born, and I was able to kind of quickly get back into shape for that. And if I look back on my life at events that were important to me, I was able to show up to those events whatever way I wanted to show up to, because the drive in me was so strong to do it that I did it. Yet, take those events away from me before I actually managed to crack the code on getting fit and breaking free from my unhealthy habits back when I was struggling, which I did for many years. If you had have asked me outside of those events times, I would have told you how difficult it is and how challenging it is. Forgetting that I actually made it so simple in the run-up to the events. And those kind of moments in your life where you have really wanted to make a change for a specific reason that is important to you shows you that you know what to do and that you can do it when it means enough to you. And I ask you, can you look back on times in your life where you have wanted to make a change and you've made a change? And maybe it's been for an event. Can you look back in an event now in your life and you're like, yeah, I was in great shape for that? Like, that knowledge of how you do it, you did it, isn't gone. And in the moment when you had a metaphorical gun to your head, you were able to do it. But then the motivation, because that event passes, goes. And your drive to do the thing goes for some of us. And maybe for other reasons, like stress and overwhelm and busyness, they kind of come back to the front again. Maybe they were temporarily pushed away for a while because getting into shape for that event became the most important thing to you, and it like rode over, like it rose above the stress and the overwhelm. It was more important than that. But then with that gone, the stress and the busyness and the overwhelm of life came right back to the center again, and the habits got dropped. And I find that so interesting. And again, I find it really exciting. And I find it so exciting because it's proof that it's not about all the time needing to know more. It's about figuring out how you can train yourself to do the simple things that are going to produce the best results. And in his book, Jeff Olson talks about us doing activities, us hating failure. Really hating failure, and that will do anything to get out of that feeling of massive failure. And that if you take your health, for example, when you are on absolute rock bottom and you're like feeling really unhealthy and really unfit, that you will do the activities that will take you from failure to survival, to that feeling of like, you know, I'm actually doing okay here. But then when you're feeling okay and you feel like things are okay, you stop doing them. So you end up on this like snake kind of line where you're at rock bottom, and then you go up a little bit, you start doing these activities that get you out of rock bottom, and you start to become fit and healthy, but then you feel okay. So you stop doing them and you go back down again. And that 95% of us do this. We go up and we go down and we go up and we go down, and we never, for a lot of us, keep doing the things that got us out of failure and that would bring us to success. So I'll read you out the sentence that he wrote. So he said, the same activities that take us from failure to survival would also take us from survival to success if we would just keep doing them. You could call these little virtues or success habits. Jeff Awesome calls them simple daily disciplines, simple productive actions repeated consistently over time. That, in a nutshell, is the slight edge. I just want to say that again. You can call these little virtues or success habits. I call them simple daily disciplines, simple productive actions repeated consistently over time. That, in a nutshell, is the slight edge. And the slight edge, doing these simple daily actions over time, remember, with the success path and the failure path, you mightn't see any results from what you're doing for a long time, but then your path is going to go up. Same if you don't do them, easy to do, easy not to do. You're not going to look or feel any different, maybe, to somebody that's on the success path if you're on the failure path, but over time, the compound interest of you doing those unhealthy habits over time, that line is going to go all the way down. And also what's really interesting is that people on the success path are take responsibility for every single thing going on in their lives. They take responsibility for their actions, for their behaviors, for their habits, for every single thing. They take responsibility for everything. And people on the failure line blame. They blame everything on other people, or even they blame some things on other people. So there's a couple of things that I want to chat to you about. So first off, that interesting concept about we feel at rock bottom, we want to get out of rock bottom. We start doing these daily habits that take us from failure to survival. If we keep doing those habits, we'll be successful. But what most of us do is we stop doing them and we go back to square one. Another thing I want to chat to you about with this concept is the idea of time and having patience. And what a lot of people tend to do is they do these little actions for a short amount of time. They're not seeing what they want to do, so they stop. And a brilliant and interesting concept is the idea of, actually, I'll read you this Chinese proverb. Be not afraid of going slowly, be afraid only of standing still. Be not afraid of going slowly, be afraid only of standing still. I need to get that Chinese proverb put up on my wall because I've always been afraid of going slow. So I've never gone slow. And it's one of the biggest, I suppose, character flaws that I have had over the years, that I do things really, really fast because I'm really stressed out about them and I want to get to the outcome as quick as possible. My intentions are good, but my actions aren't great because I'm so stressed and so busy trying to get to the result. Whereas that Chinese proverb, and in Jeff Olson's book, it's all about giving yourself the time and the space to actually achieve what it is that you want to achieve. So almost like having courage and practicing faith, like having faith that it's all going to work out and having the courage to go slow and steady, that you can build great momentum with slow and steady. You can build great momentum, enjoying the journey, enjoying the feelings that the action steps are giving you, and in a sense, almost letting go of the drive to be rushed to the outcome. I thought that was a really wonderful Chinese proverb. So I want to share with you his steps to having a goal and to getting to success. Okay, so these are the steps to getting what you want from Jeff Olson's book. So step number one is to write down what your goal is and give it a what and a when. So always really important when you're setting a goal is that you are super clear on what it is that you want, that you're specific in what it is, that you've got a clear description on what it is, and that you have a timeline. A little bit like those deadlines, you know, those deadlines in work where you're like, well, I have until 4 weeks on Friday. So, you know, 3 days before you end up doing it. So giving yourself a clear deadline so you don't just constantly push it down the road. Step number two is to look at it every day. Now, this is something that you can incorporate into your day-to-day routine, and Thrivers, we do a lot of this in Thrive Mind, but writing down your goal is and looking at it every day is really, really important for your subconscious mind to go after it, for your conscious mind to know what it is that you want. And step number three is to have a plan. So to have action steps that are going to get you what it is that you want. That's all well and good saying that you want something, but how you're going to get it is just as important. I love to visualize myself like facing on a path with the flag at the destination and these little stepping stones that are going to get me to the flag. But the stepping stones have to be named and my action steps have to be on those stepping stones. And in terms of forming habits, remember that there's two kind of habits, those that serve you and those that don't. And you have a choice over your habits through your choice of everyday actions. And the way to think about this as you go throughout the day, and the way to show yourself that you have utmost responsibility over everything that you do is, as Tara Brach says, try and put little pauses and spaces between when you think about doing something to when you actually do them. And you can do this with every single thing in your life. I'm doing it with my phone at the moment. You can do it with alcohol, with food, with anything that you do, any habit that you do. Just spend your time going throughout the day. And before you make the decision to eat that bar of chocolate or make the decision to have a really unhealthy lunch or to skip your workout, what works for me is like I really consciously acknowledge now when I am doing something unhealthy or something that's not serving me. And that's not something that I used to do. I used to really consciously observe myself doing healthy things. Like, oh my God, Jessica, you legend, you're working out. Oh my God, you were going for a walk. Look at you go. And I'm not talking about observing yourself to be hard on yourself, by the way. I want to make that really clear because a big concept, a big, big thing in our program, you know this, Thrivers, is that we are really kind on ourselves and we focus on our wins. However, I'm just talking about observing your behavior throughout the day. That what I do with myself now is if I'm about to skip something or if I'm about to do something that's unhealthy, I just pause for a second and I'm like, I just want to be really aware that I'm about to eat this now and that this is a choice and that I'm going to go for it. And that kind of thinking has really helped me because in the past, if I was, when I was really unhealthy, and let's say I would order a takeaway, or if I was having a few drinks and I wanted to have a pizza, I would do it in a really kind of fast, don't think about it and you won't even really know you're doing it kind of way. Can you relate to that? Like I'd be sitting on the couch and I would be like, okay, I'm going to have some biscuits or some chocolate or some ice cream. And I would kind of rush the decision through and then I would rush and get the treats and then I would kind of eat them in a rushed way and then just feel really bad afterwards. And I would never really think the thing through very much because I kind of almost wanted to avoid it. Whereas now I really intentionally become aware that I am making tiny little micro decisions every single day. And when I'm saying no to my workout, I just want to be okay, Jessica, just to be super clear, you are saying no to that habit today. Jessica, you are saying no to the reading first thing in the morning because you've just hit snooze in your alarm clock. So you see how cool that is. And you really realize then Jeff Olson's whole theory about the success path and the failure path, and success is those small habits compounded over time, and that the unhealthy habits, it amounts to failure because the little small choices that we make every day compound over time to bring us like the utmost failure. And in terms of our fitness and our health, to me, that is so sluggish, so tired, so negative, so unhealthy, so unfit, so not in control of my mood because I'm so unhealthy and I've got all these toxins in my body. So interesting. So he shares with you how to cultivate habits with these seven tips or practices. Okay, so if you are looking to form a habit or do a little daily habit over time, here's his seven tips. So number one is to show up for yourself. That's a great tip. It's really simple, but like, make a conscious decision to show up for yourself and the thing that you said you were going to do. Number two is to be consistent. And I've said it a lot of times in this podcast episode, but remember that consistency isn't doing what you said you were going to do 100% of the time. It's doing what you said you were going to do 70 to 80% of the time. So giving yourself that 20 to 30% wiggle room every week means you're not striving for perfection, you're striving for consistency. Number three is to have a really positive outlook. Be positive in your approach. Now, this is something that I have to work on the whole time. The more I am on this journey with myself of moving away from turning to external substances to change how I'm feeling, and that could be like shopping or eating or anything distracting like the phone, which is something I'm working on now. Having a positive outlook is really, really important. Sorry, so what I was trying to say there was I've realized that I can be quite negative in my outlook, and my negativity brings me to wanting to change how I'm feeling through reaching for external substances. So I am focusing now on having a more positive outlook, and I'm learning this from Tara Brach, amongst others, about neurons that fire together stay together. And if you're wired, if your like default way of reacting to stress is fight, flight, or freeze, and just negative, or a little problem comes your way and you just instantly get to worry and negative, that's what you're most practiced at, and that's going to be the way you always react to things. Until you actively work on changing your reaction, which takes practice. And once you practice this and focus on changing your reaction to things, you can then in time have a more positive outlook and a more positive reactionary way about things. It's really cool. I was a bit long-winded, sorry. Number four is to be committed for the long haul. So commit to becoming the person you want to become, and that's it. And I mean, it's great to have deadlines and goals and things like that, but when it comes to you developing yourself as a person and building better habits and stepping into the person you want to become, let go of the pressure. And that's what I am really, really doing now. I can't begin to tell you how much I've changed as a person from when I set up this podcast to like now. In fact, I'm not even sure if I could bear to listen to the first episode. Like, one of the most profound changes that I have had in within me is that I have let go of what I expect my life to be like, and I've let go of this notion of what success should be like. And all I am doing now is focusing on becoming the best version of me. And as corny as that sounds, it's beginning to bring me a lot more joy and content. I've let go of trying to be successful. I've let go of this notion of what I should be doing. I really have. And I just feel this weight off my shoulders. And I'm okay with my journey now until the day I die. I'm okay with whatever happens because I'm on a journey now of focusing on being my best self. And there's so much fulfillment in that. that it's okay what happens. And I credit so much of that to working out and doing the Thrive Minds, doing the Thrive Time that we do, Thrivers, our Thrive Time, our Thrive Body and our Thrive Mind, and my reading of the personal development books first thing in the morning. Yeah, so number four, be committed for the long haul. Number five is to cultivate a burning desire backed by faith. So you've got to really want what it is that you're going after, so much so that you're committed, that you're committed to embracing failure, because there will be times when you fail, and embracing setbacks, however, still going after these simple daily habits because you want them in your life, that you have a burning desire to become the person you want to become. And it's also backed by faith that it's going to work out and that you're on the right path. Habit number six is be willing to pay the price. And I love this. Like, you have to make sacrifices if you want to get what you want. So for example, if you want to become fit and healthy and you want to feel really good on your clothes, the sacrifice to that is that you are going to have to say no to junk food, crisps, biscuits, sweets during the week. And for some people, that is just a no-no. That's like, no, I'm not willing to do that. Life is too short, or whatever it is that they say to themselves. But for some of you, you're willing to pay that price. And that's really, really cool. And you mightn't succeed initially, and you might aim to become fit and healthy, but along the way have setbacks where you'll keep reaching for the biscuit tin, and that's normal and that's okay. But you're willing to keep focused on it and get to the point where you're able to not have sweet stuff during the week, and you're willing to pay the price. You're willing to say no to yourself. Or if you want to get up earlier, you're willing to sacrifice that extra 20 minutes in bed. So be willing to pay the price and sacrifice stuff. It's not just for these elite athletes, like, that they have to sacrifice, you know, family life and their whole life. It can even come down to sacrificing, like, instant gratification. For me now, I'm sacrificing that instant gratification that I get when I go on my phone. That any time of the day, I can go on my phone, find a notification, and get a buzz, get a dopamine hit from it. So the sacrifice for me now is that I'm going to have to sit with myself and say, Jessica, you've got this higher level purpose for yourself. You don't want to get to your deathbed and realize it was you and your fucking phone spending your life together. No, it's me. I am in the driving seat of my life. So the sacrifice that I'm going to have to pay is that I'm going to have to get that stupid flip phone and say no to myself when I want to get on my phone, and when I want to get a dopamine hit from my phone. The sacrifice I'm going to have to pay is that I'm not going to get that instant gratification. I'm going to have to delay that gratification and find it in a different way. And the last habit is to practice slight edge integrity. So that means, what Jeff Olson means by that is, when nobody's watching, what is it that you're doing? Are you doing the daily habits when you're not in the mood, when it's lashing rain outside, when you can't think of anything worse? What's the integrity going to be like when you're there? Not when people are watching, but when it's just you. So number 1 to 7, show up, be consistent, have a positive outlook, be committed for the long haul, cultivating a burning desire backed by faith, be willing to pay the price, practice slight edge integrity. What an interesting book, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. It really has helped me think deeper about creating habits and forming habits. And you know what I'm going to say. I can't let another podcast episode, like, I can't let any podcast episode go by without hating on diet culture. But just a gentle reminder to you that we don't need more diets, more diet plans. We don't need to count our calories. We don't need to get obsessed with food. In my opinion, we need to look at the unhealthy habits that are holding us back. And we need to learn how to break free from those unhealthy habits. And then when we learn how to break free from those unhealthy habits, implementing healthy habits becomes easy. And if you follow Jeff Olson's theory, keep doing those healthy habits over time. And over time, you'll become the person you want to become, and you'll be fit and healthy. Oh God, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, tell me. I'd love to know. You can get me at jessica@jessicacook.ie, or if you have a question that you want me to answer on the podcast, I'd love to read it out for you. If you found this helpful, I would just love it so much if you could share it with a friend, get this small little podcast out to more people. I love to help women over 40 get fit and break free from their unhealthy habits. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.